Because the more everybody runs their mouth about, we need to let these people in, we need to help them out, there's going to be a point in time when all the tax money can't support all the people that are coming into the country illegally. There's only X amount of dollars. And the more people you bring in here and you hand them $20, $30, $40, $50,000 a year to do zero work, it reaches a point where you can't maintain that. And it has never worked in any society, in any country throughout history. Every country that has ever attempted this has always fallen. But again, you have to understand, that's the idea of the whole point, is to make the United States fall, and out of the fallen rubble, erect a new world order.
Episode of the Sharpener Report. I'm your host, Sam Johnston. We're from YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can find me at Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. Well, I had to make sure I got a good workout in before this interview because we are talking to someone who, well, is pretty well versed in the health related fields and definitely knows his way around a gym. We are talking to Austin Brower. He runs with his father on their own show called the Ted and Austin Brower Show, and he works a lot with Health Masters and a lot of health related things. So, Austin, how are you doing today?
Doing blessed, brother. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Glad I got on here with you today.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to our conversations. But before we get too much into it, let's talk about your background. Who are you? Where do you come from? And how'd you get into all of these, fringe topics, shall we say?
The radio show is kind of a side venture that we got into. But to take it a step back further, pretty much my whole life I've been involved in, you know, just at least basic health and fitness. Ted Brower was my father. I was his oldest son. You know, he was a bodybuilder in college. And then, you know, he constantly got into the health industry more and more and really trying to help people out. So as I grew up when I was younger, you know, I really got involved in a lot of it in the gym and nutrition and diet. And not because even I wanted to, is because it just naturally came as far as the whole way the family worked on everything. So it was definitely a blessing on that aspect because it was something that I grew up in that I honestly took for granted. And I ended up going into college, continuing to train off and on. You know, I was busy. I worked through college. Once I got out of college, I ended up working a little bit more with a company up North Florida and then came back down here and started working with Health Masters full time. I had worked with it on and off through college, just pretty much with shipping, managing stuff here and there. And I ended up getting my master's in business administration and pretty much took over full operations of Health Masters in 2013. And really tried to step it up a whole nother level. The transition, as I'm sure you've seen, from the late 90s through the 2000s into the 2010s was very difficult for some companies because it was just – there was a lot of things that happened really fast. And so that's where I tried to kind of bring in was my younger knowledge but still my background of, you know, weightlifting with weight training, with nutrition and diet. And so I was into competing in my early 20s and then – pretty much once I started taking over operations and I got married when I was 25 and I've had two kids now, bodybuilding wasn't making me money. And quite frankly, I really didn't like the way the industry was when I got involved in it. And so I pretty much threw that to the side and really focused on trying to help people. And I'd done personal training and different types of supplement advice and helped with diets for bodybuilding over the years. So it was a really easy transition for me. And then pretty much a couple of years ago, it would have been, 2015, Ted came to me and he's like, listen, you know, I've done talk radio for years. I want to know if you're interested in doing that. I'd never really done talk radio before. And he goes, we kind of want to start, you know, really promoting the health and nutrition aspect, which I was really big on. And he said, but I really want to kind of bring in some other stuff that people aren't talking about with fluoride, with vaccinations, with GMOs. And I said, this is right on my level. Let's go ahead and do it. And we started the show, and then it kind of turned from that where we were talking about nutrition every single day. Then slowly more topics came up of, you know, geopolitics, just United Nations, New World Order, any topic you can pretty much think of, we started talking about it, and it just turned into this really big show. And we do it live every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. And it's taken off a lot. And so the biggest thing that I was really adamant about when we started it, and I told Ted, was that I didn't want any sponsors. The only sponsor I wanted was Health Masters, which was our own family company. You know, we only have 6-7 employees. If they're not family, they're close friends. And I told him, I said, if we're doing the show, I don't want to have all these little strings above me saying, well, you can't talk about this, but you can talk about that. If we talk about this, we're going to pull your funding. You talk about this, we're taking your sponsorship. So I said, if we can do the show and make it fully operational and paid for by Health Masters, basically out of the Health Masters sales, that's the way I want to do it. Because I've seen, and I saw this primarily in bodybuilding with sponsorships, where once people start giving you money, they have an incredibly strong, you know, point on what you can and can't say and what you have to do. And I've even seen this in other, you know, alternative media markets. I'm not knocking anybody, because everybody's got to keep their market going. Everybody's got to keep themselves fed and keep their show running. But it's turned into, and what I've noticed is a lot of sponsors and, you know, advertisers have kind of been wolves in sheep clothing with the alternative media market, where they've come in under one aspect, and once they really start to build that platform and start really generating money with them, then they come in and say, well, you really can't talk about, you know, vaccinations. That's kind of a fringe topic. You really can't bring that up. And pharmaceuticals, you really can't bring that up either, because, you know, Pfizer's our number one contributor, so you need to stay away from that. And that's what I didn't want to have happen. And by the blessings of God Almighty and Jesus Christ, we've been able to completely keep this show self-sponsored by Health Masters and continue to do what we've done. So that's pretty much the short story of everything over the last 30 years of my life.
Yeah. Well, that's a really interesting point you bring up at the end. You know, with the Sharpening Report, it's been, you know, that's been my business model as well. I own my own production company, do a lot of freelance video editing, so I can fund the Sharpening Report because I don't want that same thing that you talked about. Because once you lose that access to freedom of speech and you're tied down by money, you know, then you're a part of that, the system, and you're part of the worldly things, and you get the truth taken out, and then why are you doing it? Like, what's the point behind it? And so that's a great way to look at it. And I've definitely listened to your show for a while, even before I got into the Sharpener Report. It covers such great information. If anyone listening doesn't know about it, definitely tune in at least for an hour, and then you'll be hooked going forward. But talking about the health related things, you know, it's interesting that you said the 20 years or so when there some businesses were struggling to grow and you guys kind of succeeded, it's almost like you had a double two lines of defense to go through, because the way the food system is set up is it's such a control aspect to get people you know, lose their energy and to, you know, the art of convenience to get people to buy GMO filled things, and your business really does the opposite of that. So can you talk a little bit on the war on nutrition?
The war on nutrition has been going on for decades. There's no question about it. All the way from, you know, the bringing out of aspartame and the use of glyphosate in the 80s. There's no question that we've been in a war on that. But pretty much once we saw, usually it kind of happened in the 90s, because a lot of people, you know, it really is the inception of the internet. That was a huge turning point, because what happened was for the 80s and 90s, people really only got their information pretty much from like newspapers or, you know, from television. And so pretty much whatever anybody said on CNN or what anybody said in the New York Times, that was pretty much gospel. And, you know, there were other people that were out there spreading the word, like Ted was back in the success seminars, because, I mean, he was on the platform, you know, sharing platforms with all types of different people. And the thing was, his main thing that he talked about was the top 10 foods never to eat, which was fringe back then. I mean, people were like, it blew people's mind when he brought it up, because people were like, wow, what I put in my body actually has an effect on what I do. Because we've been kind of conditioned so long by the mainstream media that it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you eat. As long as you take this prescription pill and you take this shot and you take this vaccine, you're fine. You're 100% healthy, which is far from the truth at best. And so we really saw, you know, in the early 2000s, when the internet really started to take hold, people started to put the peer-reviewed research studies of things they had done on different types of foods, on different types of chemicals, what they did in lab rats and so forth. And so more and more things started to come out, and at that point, we even had more knowledge because we were able to do more efficient research more effectively and faster. And so that's when really we started with Health Masters as really kind of branching off into the nutraceutical field, because we wanted to make sure all of our supplements were as pure as they could pretty much get. You know, we wanted non-GMO tested. We wanted free of any type of heavy metals or toxins. And on top of that, we wanted the highest quality that was testing out at the highest batch levels. A lot of companies that I have worked with in the past, and I've kind of helped them out with stuff, and I've looked at things, and I've tested it. They've wanted to work with me and back and forth. You know, they'll put things on the label, but because of the nutritional aspect of it with the FDA not regulating, which in my opinion has been a good thing, but it's also been a bad thing on some aspects, because you have the ability for some supplement companies to not have what's in their product or have it at a very, very low dosage. So that's something that we really prided ourselves on, is we use a full pharmaceutical grade FDA approved laboratory in Orlando, Florida, that has the ability to build and contract some of the highest quality ingredients and some of the purest ingredients without having that control of really the FDA still telling us what we can and can't put in our products. So those are things that have just really evolved naturally over the last 20 years now to where we are today, where the knowledge base of nutrients and foods, whether it be aspartame, hydrogenated oils, high fructose corn syrup, it's so much easier to find the truth about them. And that's why I tell people, is I'm like, there's really no excuse to be overtly unhealthy anymore. Nothing short of, you know, a cataclysmic event or something really come up that you had no idea about, or some genetic disorder. I got all that. But putting that aside, you know, being morbidly obese or having huge issues with type 2 diabetes, most of those things we have found now are so easy to correct naturally with supplements. You know, when we first started working with Doug Hagman years ago, he was having a horrible issue with his blood sugar. And so we came in, and that's why on our website we put together the Hagman Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol. We put that together specifically for him, and then we ended up promoing it for his kit because it works so well for him, and we've had thousands of other people use it and be able to get their blood pressure or their blood sugar under control without the use of insulin and drugs like metformin. And again, if you're on those medications, we don't recommend you stop them cold turkey. Talk to your doctor, see if you can come off of them naturally. But again, the easiest thing, in my opinion, is prevention. And that's what we've really tried to work on, is instead of waiting until you have these horrible issues and you're in the doctor and you're on 20 different meds, do some changes that can really make a huge difference in your life. And like I was on our show, you know, early days, we do our show every single day. If it's just something like taking out some key ingredients, you don't have to go absolutely ham as soon as you start changing your diet. You know, take certain things out. Say, I'm not going to eat high fructose corn syrup, I'm not going to eat hydrogenated oil, I'm not going to eat MSG, I'm not going to eat sucralose or aspartame. Okay, those are some key ingredients right there that you can really say, okay, these are things I'm not going to buy any products that have these ingredients in them. And then throw in a couple of key natural supplements like the Ultimate Multiple Powder. That's a really, really good core-based supplement that'll help you out significantly with energy, with mental acuity, with everything. And so that's where I recommend people starting, and then slowly work your way up and go from there. But with the knowledge base we have now and the ability to spread the word we have, like through your show and through our show and our website at Health Masters, there's no excuse, in my opinion, anymore for people to just live blissfully with all these different health issues and ailments and pretend like there's no idea what caused it, what could prevent it, what we could do to further stop it in the future. We're not at that point anymore. So it's been a plus and a minus, because then we have the disinformation from the fake news media like CNN, who comes out and just runs their mouth about the most asinine topics just to put blatant lies out there to confuse the population. You know, I saw the article earlier where I had it as far as them talking about the chemtrails. They released an article, CNN released an article over the weekend about how Harvard and Yale graduate scientists are talking about how we need to start using geoengineering aerosol spraying to combat global warming.
Oh boy.
And they say, yeah, and so I'm sitting there going, I mean, a good bulk of the population now realizes they may not understand what's going on, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to watch the planes gridlock the sky like a checkerboard every single day and say, maybe they're doing something. And this is a quote in the article that literally I just started laughing when I read it. They talk about, they said, the technique would involve spraying large amounts of sulfate particles in the Earth's atmosphere at altitudes as high as 12 miles. despite the technology being underdeveloped and with no existing aircraft suitable for this adaption, researchers say that developing a new purpose-built tanker with substantial payload capabilities would neither be technologically difficult nor prohibitively expensive, would operate at about $3.5 million to start it up and a running cost of about $2.5 billion a year, or $3.5 billion to start it, $2.5 billion a year to keep it operational. But when I saw that article, when they said blatantly, there's no existing aircraft suitable for this, we're not sure how we're going to do it, but it's just a side thought. And then you look up, you know, because I've got a lot of different spotting scopes from different things that I've shot long range over the years and different long range training. And we have some real long scopes that we've looked at as far as in space and night. I've always been very intrigued with the moon and stars. And we've looked at some of the planes, you know, when they're spraying over Florida. And I mean, there's these really, really large tanker planes that literally go back and forth over the state of Florida and spray an aerosol spray at about 8 to 10 miles up. And so it's funny when they come up with this just literally pure fake news, horse poop is what it is, and yeah. Keep it on the show, and then they expect everybody to believe it. It troubles me, but then it also shows me that we're making a difference, because if they have to put out fake news garbage like this, it shows you they're trying to do propaganda to fight back all the info that we're releasing all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing that's frightening is, you see things like Revelation. Obviously, when what's going to happen in Revelation, people taking the mark of the beast, and you're like, how can we ever get to that point where people want Satan as the one in charge? How can we ever get to that? And then you see things like, oh, now people are going to start wanting chemtrails over us because it's going to help the environment. And it's just that shift in the mentality that people are wanting the evil done to them is so frightening. But it's great to have people, you know, speaking the truth always, even though it becomes difficult. So question is, we talk a lot about all of the health related issues that we can find, the problems with the food. So let's just get back to the basics. Let's ask why. Why are they attacking the food industry so much?
Well, in my opinion, it's multifaceted. You know, you have a couple aspects of it. A, they want to have full and total world domination over the food supply. Numerous dictators over thousands upon thousands of years have always pretty much said, you control the food, you control the people. That's as simple as it gets. Once a population becomes starving, and I mean ravenously starving, to a point that most Americans have never actually felt before, you'll pretty much do almost anything you have to survive, whether that be kill somebody, whether that be rob somebody, whether that be turn in your guns and go into a FEMA camp that'll give you 3 hot meals a day. There's a lot of things that change when you don't eat anything for about 6 to 7 days and further out. It gets very, very difficult on the body to cope with that stress. They know this. So they want to control the entire global population, hence Monsanto, hence Bayer, hence GMOs. We could do a 2-3 hour segment on GMOs, but for the sake of time, you know, we're trying to get all this stuff in. The GMOs and the genetically modified food is just one aspect. Now they're taking another step with the CRISPR-9 gene editing to make the food even more adapted to what they want it to be. So they control the food that way, with Monsanto controlling the seed supply, controlling the farmers. I had an email from a customer a while back ago that was a farmer, and he basically said the issue you don't realize what's going on with Monsanto is it's a giant conglomerate of everything, because it's not just the seeds. If you buy the seeds, then you get better prices on the John Deere equipment. When you buy the equipment, then they give you better pricing on other equipment. Once you get that equipment, they give you better pricing on fertilizer, and it so forth goes down the line. If you step out of that and you say, I'm not participating in your giant New World Order scam, Monsanto, I'm going to grow completely organic. Basically, you guys can go kick rocks. You are 100% on your own at full retail pricing, with pretty much only the negotiating skills that you possess to try to work some prices down to a feasible amount on certain things growing. So they've made it cost prohibitive to grow organically. They've done this intentionally. Second is the food supply continually getting more and more toxic and more just disgusting with the expansion of glyphosate globally. In my opinion, it ties directly into the healthcare and pharmaceutical industrial complex. If you can keep the population eating more toxic food and staying sicker and sicker and sicker, theoretically, they're going to go to the hospital and they're going to get more insurance and they're going to go have more operations and they're going to go on more pharmaceutical drugs. So it goes hand in hand, because at that point, you keep a population more controlled. If you keep them drugged down, you keep them submissive, you keep them under the control of the healthcare and pharmaceutical industrial complex, they're going to be a lot more apt to pretty much just mosey on their way until they die. You can extract a substantial amount of funds out of them and the healthcare industry by all these needless operations like chemotherapy, which they have already found does very little to extend your life expectancy. And the death rate of chemotherapy, which is something is rarely talked about, people that actually die, not from cancer, but from chemotherapy, is in the hundreds of thousands every single year. And yet nobody wants to talk about that. They fudge the numbers. They say, oh, no, they died of this or they died of that. Whatever it may be, you're putting an incredibly toxic compound in your body. And in most cases, you're adding radiation on top of it. Chemotherapy is not cancer specific. It kills every living organism in the body. And if you're lucky, it just happens to kill the cancer before it kills you. That's how chemotherapy works. Most people don't understand that. It's not directed at cancer. It's directed at every living cell in your body, and it wipes out everything. So when people automatically go down that model, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in expenses. They usually are on pharmaceutical drugs for the remainder of their life at that point, and they're going into the doctor on a regular basis, whether it be for mammograms, whether it be for prostate exams, whether it be for another just cancer checkup, whatever it is. It keeps them in the healthcare industrial complex. So you have that aspect with keeping the people sicker, controlling the food supply, keeping them in the healthcare industrial complex. And then on top of that, you have the global control that needs to be brought into place with the United Nations and the New World Order to completely control the population. Because once you control the food, once you control the healthcare, once you control the money, once you control the banks, once you control the vehicles, which they're doing right now. I just talked about an article earlier today. This just happened from GM. I don't know if you heard about it on the show earlier. This was huge. General Motors came out today and said they're closing down 5 facilities in North America. They're cutting their salaried workforce by over 15%. And the plants that they're cutting down, the last remaining plant in Detroit, shut down. Yeah. The Oshawana, Ontario plant, shut down. Warren, Ohio, shut down. White Marsh, Maryland, shut down. Warren, Michigan, shut down. GM's new model, zero crashes, zero emissions, zero congestion, signaling they're shifting to full self-driving electric vehicles. And when you go down that road and you start allowing the government, which you guys know pretty much the government bailed them out and then they were bought back out shortly thereafter, you have a completely controlled vehicle company that is going to be at the forefront of autonomous vehicles. And the scary part about that is if you look at the article that also just came out with Honda's teaming up with GM on self-driving cars, they're putting billions of dollars of investment from Honda into GM. Basically, they're dumping everything in the next 10 to 15 years. They want to get rid of trucks. They want to get rid of cars. They want to take everything autonomous, including, in their words in this article, it will represent the next step in autonomous driving, one in which controls for human operation are entirely absent. Meaning they will be fully autonomous vehicles. You will not be able to control them. You will not be able to manage them. And when you start throwing in things like we've seen in China with the social credit score and them already revoking people's 11 million people can't ride the train now, 4 million people can't fly now in China because their behavior is deemed offensive by the Chinese communist government. When you start factoring all this stuff from the food to the healthcare to the money to the vehicles, all this stuff starts tying in together in what looks to be, in my opinion, a total government-controlled global new world order by 2030 or sometime in that area to where you're not going to be able to drive if they deem you can. Think about it. If you start having autonomous vehicles all over the country and all of a sudden your social credit score drops below like it does in China, they say, sorry, your autonomous vehicle won't drive anymore. We've basically restricted it for usage that we deem necessary, and your social credit score doesn't deem that necessary because your behavior doesn't go along with the New World Order communist arrangement. So you can't go anywhere for a month. You're on restriction. This is where it's going to go, and that's why we tell so many people, you know, wake up on what's going on. The cashless society, I'm not a big fan of autonomous vehicles. I talked to a buddy of ours that works up in Tallahassee. Sydney, and he's talked repeatedly about the industry trying to get out of it, because not only is that industry going to be incredibly difficult to get away from once it really rails up, the only way to make that industry fully functional with autonomous vehicles is a full Internet of Things 5G network. This ties back into why they're pushing the 5G network so hard. For autonomous vehicles to function on an interstate highway at high speed, 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, they all have to be able to communicate with each other. And not just communicate with each other, they have to communicate with every single thing around them, including roads, exits, overpasses, everything. The only way for them to communicate at that aspect will be a 5G network. There's a reason why the 5G network has to have at least 500 feet or less between each cell tower. It's got a very short wave range. And you think about it, when you start factoring into the vehicles functioning on that, they're going to have to tie into that Internet of Things on a weekly, daily, hourly, minute basis. Every single foot they travel, they have to adapt to the next Internet base that they can connect to. That's how they're going to implement this stuff. And that's why I've been so adamant about refusing to let 5G in areas, even though we have it coming to Orlando in 2019. I just found out recently, which is quite troubling. And it's going to be something that's still going to take time. But once it gets fully implemented, I think it's going to be something beyond our world, literally, on what we can imagine, how detrimental it's going to be from a health standpoint, and how much control it's going to exert over us, especially with our appliances, with our phones, with our vehicles. That's really where they're trying to take it.
Yeah, it's like everyone's selling their soul and selling their country and selling the world for convenience sake. It's you know, oh, I want to eat something that's a little easier to make, so I'm just going to buy something at the local supermarket. Or I don't want to drive today, so I'll just let my car do it. But it's just that it's that slow subtleness of the way the plan works throughout our culture to convince people slowly that, oh, we'll do it for you. You know, it's the same reason that socialism is starting to come back up. It's like, oh, you know, we'll pay for all this stuff, don't worry about it. And it's like, no, that's not what we want. You know, we want, you need to be an individual. It goes back to the same thing that we're talking about in the opening in regards to your business and my business. Is there's a reason that we don't, you know, we don't get really a lot of sponsors, or there's a reason that we don't want money from other people, is because we want to be independent. You know, that's the same thing with the food. You need to start thinking about how to grow your own food and how to at least know where someone grows their own food so you can buy it from them or offer them some sort of service in return. So just to break free and become individuals again. And that's such a movement that needs to be, that we need to push forward in all of our conversations. And so I love that that idea. Again, it's just consistent throughout your whole, you know, everything you've been saying.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, and that's aspect which you've brought up, is that we have to get back to this individualism aspect of relying on ourselves and our family and our friends and having the support structure. What we're doing now is we're taking that reliance of ourselves and of God and of family and of friends, and we're putting it in AI. That's flat out what it is. I mean, these phones that we run around with all the time, they got microchips in them. They will monitor everything we do. They listen to everything we do. They're getting more and more advanced to the people now. They run around with those watches on, which, I mean, whatever, if you want to wear one, I won't wear one. I like old school Timex watches. They still keep good time. They don't monitor everything I do. But that's just a slow step of what they're doing to keep everybody strapped on their phone. Because think about it. If you have a phone, you can take it out. You can throw it on the counter, which I do all the time. I can throw it in the other room. Shoot, I'll throw it in the microwave sometimes. If I don't want anybody to hear a conversation, flat out, I won't turn it on. Obviously, it'll fry it. But if you don't have your phone on you and you monitor everything on your watch, you don't really take off your watch much during the day with your working. It's pretty much a substantial part of you to keep track on time, especially if you're operating a business or you're working. So these things they're slowly starting to do, they're trying to do it for the sake of convenience. As you said, oh, I don't want to drive. It's too much work. Dude, we're not back on horse and buggy anymore. We have vehicles that ride around like Cadillacs with massaging seats if you want. We have cruise control. We have some of the nicest convenient vehicles in the world, yet we're all clamoring about it's too much work to make a 45-minute drive. I don't want to drive. I'm too tired. I'd rather have a vehicle drive me. I'll give up all my freedom, all my rights, all my privacy. It's okay. Just drive me around. That's one of the most blithering idiot ideologies you could ever come up with when it comes down to it. Because in reality, we are so pampered as a country already, but it's not enough. Now they want to tie into the Internet of Things with our house with these stupid Alexas that listen to you. They want to have your refrigerator and your washing machine and your AC and everything tied into every aspect of it. They're, oh, Oh, what's in my refrigerator? I'm too lazy to get up off my couch and stop watching my 100-inch TV screen. Do we have any milk left, Aleska? Oh, yes, I'm looking in your fridge right now. You have an entire gallon of milk left. The next thing they're going to start having is self-serving robots, which those are already out now. We see the sex robots and all the other weird stuff they're coming out with now. Now they'll start having little assistants that'll run around the house. Aleska, get me my robot servant, get me my gallon of milk. I don't want to get off the couch. I'm too tired. The next step, and so we're giving up all this protection, all this freedom, all this privacy, all under the guise of efficiency, all under the guise of essentially ease of use, which bothers me a lot because, as you said, we're slowly giving our rights away to the artificial intelligence industry. And if we don't take a step back and say, hey, you said, we need to grow some food. I mean, we don't necessarily have to have 1,000 acres, but we can have an orchard. We can have some oranges. We can have some apples. We can have some lemons. What do you grow here? You want blueberries? Okay. You want to grow some carrots? Let's grow carrots, potatoes, whatever. There's certain little things we can do and really do it without compromising a lot of our ability to handle the situation the way we need to handle it. And the problem is that, I mean, like even in Sweden, I talked about on the show earlier, they're saying that over 4,000 Swedes are chipped. I mean, microchip, fully microchip. They said now 1% of coins and cash represents the economy in Sweden. 1% of things are done in cash and coin now. United States is 8%. Europe's 10%. And these are serious issues because the younger generation now that I've been trying to convey a lot of this to, they're so doggone lazy. Oh, gosh, they're lazy. You talk to them about some stuff, and it's just like, oh, well, that's too much work. You know, I mean, like even my brother, I love him. He's awesome. He's in college right now. But he uses a thing on his phone where he's like, Google, check the weather on his phone. He says it on his phone, and then it checks the weather for him and tells him what the weather is. The first time he did it, it boggled my mind when he did it to me. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Did you really just ask your phone to tell you the weather? Because doing, oh, that was just too much work. I can't believe I had to swipe my finger 3 times. That just, oh, I'm sick of doing that. I need to talk to my phone now and have it speak to me. I get it's convenient. I get it's cool. I get it's trendy. But again, there's going to be a certain point in time we're going to have to draw a line where we're going to say this is no longer acceptable with us in our society and our Christian beliefs. The problem is they brainwash this younger generation. That's why it's so important if you have kids, if you have younger people in your life, to do the best you can to mentor them, to really kind of show them the direction that they need to go because they're getting brainwashed. I mean, we got Common Core and blithering idiot education system that does absolutely nothing for anybody now except make them dumber. And now we have the media complicitly trying to turn them into robots with the music videos just, I mean, completely compromise their morals and ethics. It's so important you make a difference in this younger generation because this generation right now is going to be the next generation they completely go after and try to get them totally psychoped. And that will be the generation we get in office in another 10, 20, 30 years. And those will be the lunatics that are going to say, we want all the guns banned because it'll make us feel better. We want all regular vehicles banned because there's been too many attacks and crashes with vehicles. Everything needs to be autonomous. We want cash banned because too many people on the black market do bad things with cash. Cash is dirty. Cash is bad. You need to ban it. These are the things that they're slowly putting subliminally into the minds of the population, specifically the younger population, and we have to do the best we can to fight and counteract all this negative input that they're putting in.
Yeah, I just saw an article that said 500,000 millennial men are out of work because they just don't feel like working, and ties into video games and things like that. It's just, it's disgusting. And you know, you kind of brought up a good point at the end is, you know, this individualism is not only being attacked by just people being lazy, but also by social pressures. You have, you know, it's, you can see it now, people talking about vaccines. If you don't get a vaccine, then you hate my kid because you're going to get them sick. Or, you know, just the border crisis we're having right now is like, oh, you don't love these people? Like, you don't care about these people? It's like, no, I care about these people, but listen, I'm my own individual. I need my own space to do my own thing so I can glorify God, you know, the way that he calls me to, and I'm not going to give up my rights for someone else. And so it's always collectivism versus individualism. I mean, that's Satan in the garden offered them to be, you know, a part of the system. They both, Adam and Eve, hey, take this fruit and be a part of the system that I put up for you. instead of being, oh, hey, I'm going to be an individual for God. And some people may, you know, oh, religion is just a collectivism mentality. It's like, yeah, a lot of them are, sure. But when you get to the roots of what Christianity is all about and the ideas that pull throughout scripture, it's all about individualism. It's about being stones. It's about using your own gifts that God gave you to be someone different, to glorify God in the way that he calls you to. And it's, you know, and it even talks about God, you know, knows every hair on your head, and he knows how every person's different. And that's such a, that's the two forces that we're facing. Is every decision you make, you have to ask yourself, is it going to be, am I giving into the collective mentality, or am I giving it into the individual mentality? And that idea, right? That battle of ideas is super important that we really need to start winning.
Oh, you're absolutely right, because they've used the collectivism and they tried to pull on the emotions and the heartstrings of the population by guilt shaming us, basically, into saying, well, you need to do this, like you said, with the migrants. Here's the aspect of it. They're not our problem right now. I know that sounds horrible, but on the aspect of it is, when you start looking at a nationalism standpoint, we have a lot bigger things we need to focus on in our neighborhood, in our city, in our county, in our state, things that we really need to work on, instead of saying, hey, these people that are demanding entry illegally into our country, why they wave a flag of their country while they scream and cuss at everybody on the other side of the border, deserve to be in this country more than you do. The only time in history that you have a group of individuals, a large group of individuals, that demand entry into a country while they wave their own flag, they're called invaders. That's the only thing they've ever been called. If people want to come here legally, there are multiple facets to do so. I have multiple people that I know, including friends that I've made over the years, that have come here legally, including my own grandmother who came over to here from Germany legally. There's aspects to do on it, and if we want to make a difference in that, then we need to send more missionaries down there. That's the aspect of it. Instead of bringing them here to give them free food, free housing, free cars, free everything, and say, hey, basically, you don't want to work. You want to come here for free, and we'll just do that for you. Send more people down there to help support them and show them the gift of God Almighty. My wife's parents are current missionaries still. They're in Ecuador. They're going back down there in January. This is the thing that we have to support as much as we can, is missionary work. Because the more everybody runs their mouth about, we need to let these people in, we need to help them out, there's going to be a point in time when all the money doesn't make a difference anymore. All the tax money can't support all the people that are coming into the country illegally. And that's a concept that the hardcore liberal communist leftists don't grasp for some odd reason, is that there's only X amount of dollars. And the more people you bring in here and you hand them $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to do zero work, it reaches a point where you can't maintain that. And it has never worked in any society, in any country throughout history. Every country that has ever attempted this has always fallen. But again, you have to understand, that's the idea of the whole point, is to make the United States fall, and out of the fallen rubble, erect a new world order. They've said that multiple times. They've sold it in media comps. You've seen it on movies. They've brought it out. Out of chaos breeds a new world order. And that's something that we cannot fall prey to. So we have to continue to fight for that and promote that idea of, you know, supporting one another, supporting our county, supporting our city, families, friends. And that's one aspect that I think was such a big deal for why Trump got pushed so hard, because the nationalism concept was something that we pretty much lost for a good 8 years. And even before that, the Bushes were nothing else. But really, Obama completely pushed away the nationalism aspect and basically said, hey, doesn't matter where you're from, what you're doing, what you can produce, you can come here unmolested on your way, and we'll just give you free everything. And Trump stopped all that, and it's good he has. And I'm really, really glad to see the migrant crisis being handled the way that it is, because if we just capitulated and allowed these guys to come through, it wouldn't be 5,000 this week. It would be 10,000 next week, and it would be 100,000 next month. And so it's something we have to make a stand at some point. If the media wants to hate us for that, they can hate us for it. They hate us for everything. They hate us because we're Christians. They hate us because we don't love to kill unborn children. They hate us because we don't like to unvaccinate our born children. They hate us for everything. So as long as I learned a long time ago, somebody's got to be the bad guy. you might as well be the bad guy if you're doing the right thing, because it doesn't matter if we do the wrong thing, we're still going to be the bad guy. They're going to find something to hate us over, so we might as well just accept it and absorb it and continue to push our agenda and care less about offending people or making people feel happy, happy, happy about all the topics. Yes, you got to stay positive. Yes, you got to speak positive things. Yes, you got to stay in the Word all the time. But you got to call an ace, and you got to call a spade a spade. If somebody's doing something that directly contradicts the Constitution, you got to call them out for it. If something directly breaks biblical law and says, oh, it's okay to kill millions of unborn children because it's the right of the woman, no, that's not okay at all. Murder's murder any way you look at it. And for us to sit there and try to twist it around and be like, well, it's a woman's right to do this, but, you know, if this happens, it's different. And it's like, listen, it's all a giant agenda for depopulation and completely ruining the moral and biblical ethics of the United States. That's really what it comes down to. And the more they do it and the more they subject us to it and the more they normalize it, and then when we capitulate with the political correctness and we say, okay, I won't say that, I won't call this that, I won't call this this, we're literally submitting to the New World Order satanic agenda. You don't have to run around intentionally trying to offend people, but I'm not going to self-censor myself and muzzle my words, especially if I'm not doing anything unchristian or unbiblical, because my words offend somebody, or I didn't call it he, she, it, something, it, whatever they wanted to be named, their pronoun, pick of the week. I don't care. I'll call you man or woman. That's what you are, made in God's image. Regardless of your choice, you're a man or woman based in God's image, and that's basically what it breaks down to.
Yeah, definitely. I at the beginning, before the interview started, Austin asked me, is there any topics that you don't want to cover just because you don't want to go, you know, based on your audience? And thankfully, now I'm real thankful I answered the way I did. I said, no, we can go wherever we want, because based on that last rant, man, I would have been in trouble if I had said something different, but... anyway, so, hey, we are, you know, I said we'd have about a half an hour, so we went a little bit over. Before I let you go, let's talk about some real life ways people can, you know, focus on being an individual. You know, we can use the food as the best, like, metaphor or analogy of way to do that. But the ideas that we're going to talk about next are kind of, can be extrapolated across any different aspect of your life. So let's talk about food. What are good ways people can become more individualistic with their food? In your opinion, what's the best way to do that?
Well, one of them is, first off, in my opinion, is self-sustainability and self-dependence. That's a first concept. Before we even get into health, the aspect of exactly what you talked about earlier, having the ability to grow your own food or working with somebody that does, even like I said, if it's on a basic level, you don't have to have a massive orchard or massive 1,000-acre crop. Starting with something basic, fig tree, lemon tree, grapefruit tree, orange tree, carrots, potatoes, pick something, try it, see if it works. If it doesn't, try something else, learn how to do it and learn how to adapt. That when you have self-dependence and you can depend on yourself and God and your family for a lot of the things you need, it brings a whole nother level of freedom to your life, because no longer are you having to run to Walmart every 2 or 3 days to go buy more Lunchables and microwave food because you're out again. You don't have to deal with that anymore. So it brings a whole other level of freedom. Other aspect of it is food storage. I'm a huge proponent of food storage, especially clean food, whether it be storing beans, whether it be storing rice, whether it be storing dry fruit, whether it's canning fruit, whether it's MREs or clean MREs. If you can find those, I found a few of them. They're hard to find, but they're good on a whim. And stored food, because that gives you the ability, if something were to ever occur, because I live down here in Florida, we have a lot of hurricanes, as I'm sure you know, and we deal with power outages all the time down here, and just random stuff, just power goes out. Okay, whatever. Just Florida's part of it. Having the ability to say, hey, the power went out. Oh, we got a generator. Oh, we got propane. Oh, we got food. Oh, I got water. Having that ability on a regular basis to step back and be that self-sufficient really empowers you, because you realize you don't have to rely on the local police or the local government or the federal government or really any support from anybody else. Something short of like your house catching on fire and starting to burn down and you need firefighters. But again, there's a lot of precautions you can make to prevent your house from burning down as well. And especially if you're in an emergency standpoint, making sure, you know, electrical circuits are completely shut down, making sure you're not burning candles near flammable objects. Common sense things that some people sometimes don't do in an emergency, but it happens. But again, trying to do the best you can to adapt and overcome the obstacles that are in front of us. And one of those is sustainability with food. Food and water, the two most crucial elements known to man. Water being first, food being second. You cannot survive without either one of those long term. Water, you can't survive more than about 3 days without water. Food, you can't go much more than about 30 days. I mean, you can go further, but you're pretty much useless. You start eating your own muscle tissue internally. It's not healthy. So those two things are the first aspect of that individualism, self-sustain, me, my family, God, this is what we have right now. It really doesn't matter if everything else goes to crap. We have this aspect. Then the next aspect is looking at the quality of food you eat on a regular basis, even during a catastrophe or in a non-emergency. What you put in your body is your fuel. It's the same thing of like fuel you put in a car. If you go out and you buy a $500,000 exotic Lamborghini, when you go to the gas station, are you going to go to the gas station and say, hey, listen, I bought this $500,000 car, but that regular at $289 out there is just too much money. Do you have any Bobo, like gas that's been sitting in the back for a year? Like, I'm trying to be around $1 a gallon, stuff you basically are using like kerosene on a fire. Oh, yeah. I got a tank of that in the back. I can't give it away. If you want, you can put it in your Lambo. Are you really going to put that in your car? Probably not. If you go to the store, are you going to say, hey, I want to get the highest quality food I can put in my body? Or are you going to go to the back and say, dude, I want the cheapest, most MSG, preservative-filled, high-fructose corn syrup garbage that I won't even feed my dog. That's what I want to make for dinner tonight. That's what I like to eat every night. No, you shouldn't. Some people do that on a regular basis. You look at the nutritional facts on some of the food that's on the shelves. It's nauseating to look at it. You look at it, and if you know anything about nutrition or even about some chemistry sometimes with preservatives, you're like, golly, I mean, there's food I wouldn't give my dogs. I literally would not give them to my dogs on the shelf that people eat. So again, going back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, if you're not prepped and you really aren't versed in this and you haven't heard about it yet, start basic. Cut the really main things out of your diet. The hydrogenated oils. Those are oils that have basically been bubbled with hydrogen that become a solid at room temperature. Hydrogenated oils block the arteries. Horrible for you. Cut them out. Aspartame and sucralose, those are two of the most toxic artificial sweeteners known to man. Aspartame basically turning to phenylalanine. Sucralose being a chlorocarbon releases free chlorine gas into the digestive tract after it breaks down with hydrochloric acid in your stomach. Toxic stuff. Don't put it in your body ever. Next one is MSG, monosodium glutamate. Most of the time now, in almost every single chip that I have found at store, not like organic, has MSG in it. The thing is, they don't put MSG anymore. They write out in the giant big block nutritional facts on the back with the plethora of other, I mean, it looks like a doggone novel you're trying to read of words you can't pronounce, monosodium glutamate. In almost every bag of chips you will find on the supermarket store, it says that. Most people completely unknowingly don't know it's in there because they can't even pronounce half the words, including myself. Sometimes look at them and I'm like, when you have a compound, a toxin, a preservative that's 35 letters on the nutritional facts, you really got to question if you even want to put it into your body. Just my opinion on it. So MSG being another one. High fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is incredibly toxic. In my opinion, it is one of the leading causes of diabetes and blood sugar issues in the United States. And yet it's in every single soda, pretty much. It's in a significant amount of candy. It's in a significant amount of ice cream. It's in a significant amount of everything. So that's another one that you really need to completely cut out of your diet. Then you go into more things like keeping pork out of your diet, going into cleaner foods like fresh salmon, not farm-raised salmon, organic beef, not farm-raised beef, organic turkey that doesn't have all the antibiotics and hormones and pesticides and GMOs fed all the time. Those are the next steps you really want to go to. But those first key five are the ones you really want to say, they're not an option, they're not going in my body, I'm not putting them in there under any circumstances whatsoever, and then going from there. So to me, that's to answer your question, that's kind of the starting point to not only give you that self-sufficiency of having your own food and being able to be self-sufficient in any type of situation, but also transitioning over to the healthy aspect of food and trying to eat that. And then again, then you start coming down to portion control. Instead, you really need to be eating 5 to 6 meals a day. a lot of people go, that's too much. And okay, I get that. Some people are so busy, you don't have time to eat that many meals. I got that. At least three meals, and they need to be clean meals. The problem is when a lot of times people skip breakfast. Breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day. You've heard that for years, but it's really true. When you're fasting for 6, 7, 8 hours, when you've been sleeping, you wake up, you need that bump in your metabolism to get everything rolling, to get your digestive tract going, to get your metabolism working. A big thing that people do is they think they're going to lose weight by starving themselves. So they get up, they don't eat anything, they don't eat lunch, and then they come home at night and they're like, man, I haven't eaten anything all day, I deserve a big meal. And then they eat a huge serving size of mashed potatoes and chicken and fried pickles and everything else known to man down here in Florida. And then they're still hungry and they eat ice cream after that. Well, they just devoured 2,000 calories in one sitting, more than they probably should have eaten all day in one sitting. Your body in most cases can only digest about 300 to 500 calories in one sitting, depending on your size. So the rest of that is broken down, stored as body fat. So keeping in good, solid, healthy meals throughout the day is the next aspect. And again, that really keeps the metabolism good. It keeps the blood sugar more stable. And that's what I highly recommend. And then, of course, keeping a base supplement like the Ultimate Multiple, that's a really good place to start. Because even our food, even if you go full-blown organic, the nutrient density of our food, when they've tested it compared to 80, 90, 100 years ago, is literally minimal at best, even when you test organic food now. So the multivitamin that we developed with the vitamin mineral complex, not only are they plant-based nutrients in a very high form, they're all bioavailable B vitamins, so they really hit your system fast, effectively, and they actually feed the cells. For example, we use methylcobalamin in everything, which is the methylated form of B12. Majority of supplements on the market use cyanide cobalamin B12, which is synthetic form, and your body has to convert it, and usually have about a 30% positive conversion rate. The rest of it's just excreted through the liver. The issue with that is, again, you're taking in a nutrient that's synthetic, your body's having to convert it, then your body's trying to absorb it. How about we skip that whole hodgepodge of activity and we just take a completely bioavailable nutrient in right from the beginning? Your body takes it in. As soon as it hits your system, it feeds your cells immediately. That's what we've done with the nutrients at Health Masters to make up for the lack of quality food that we've really started to see so prevalent over the last 40 to 50 years.
Yeah, that's great. That's some great information there. And to extrapolate it across many different aspects of your life, it comes down to doing your research, knowing yep. what is going on in any aspect, and then making an educated decision. And so that was fantastic. Thank you so much. Hey, where can people find you? How can they support you? And do you have anything coming up that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. You know, if you need anything, you can email us or call us, healthmasters.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, or you can call us. Our phone number is 1-800-726-1834. But Health Masters website's very interactive. We have product of the week where you can go on there and vote for products that you want to see win. Or you can just give us a call. We'd be happy to, our staff would be happy to help you out and talk to you about different nutritional needs, supplements, and a good place to start. I always like starting people off small and expanding further. But yeah, you can listen to our show, subscribe to our newsletter on the website. Our show's live 3 to 4 Monday through Friday. And just, you know, you can support us by buying a bottle of supplements from us. If that costs too much money and is too much out of your budget, just forward our newsletter and our show every day. You know, we set up our newsletter so we send you the show every single day. And you can listen to it, you can forward it, and that's what we're trying to do, is just awaken the general population on what's going on. I'm not necessarily trying to change people's minds, because I think everybody has the right to free will. That's the aspect the left doesn't understand. I'm not trying to force you. You have to do this. I don't really care. If you want to eat healthy food, if you want to eat clean, I fully support you, and I'll show you how to do it. If you don't, and you want to eat microwave Monsanto food on a regular basis, that is your choice as well, and you can do so. Just understand there's consequences to every action. But that is what we try to convey to people, and that's what we talk about on our show as well. So if you can just support us, just forward our show at the least on healthmasters.com, and just try to wake up the world population on the truth of what's going on with the health news.
Absolutely, guys. That's it. That's our show this week. It's all about being an individual and standing up against the collectivism mindset that's being forced upon us. Some of you may say, hey, I don't have the money to do that. Well, you know, seeds, they cost not like under a dollar for a pack of seeds to get some food started. And, you know, it's cheap. Start small. You don't have to change your whole life in one go, but start small. Make those steps, you know. Try glorifying God with one new aspect every day. And before you know it, your whole life's going to be turned around. You're going to be healthier. You're going to be cleaner. You're going to be feeling good. And you're going to be standing up up against the New World Order that's trying to defeat us all. So with that word of joy at the end there, I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but you know I appreciate you do. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you have a great week. What do you call a nun that walks in her sleep? A Roman Catholic.